John's Gospel, and chapter 2, John's Gospel and chapter 2, verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And then it's chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. And then in chapter 19, verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And then in chapter 20. And verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And verse 13. They say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord. And I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Just a very brief and simple thought, dear brethren. We have had brought before us this week the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus, and we've been able to see that there's no one characteristic which is prominent, that pure meal offering, the fine flour, and surely we've seen in the chapters we've taken up in John's Gospel, this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus. And I just had brought before me these incidents which we've read together, which show us something of this truth, that the Lord Jesus, in his dealings with us, is always perfectly right. I suppose many of us, when we read chapter 2, and Mary comes to him with this problem, this lack, and naturally speaking, we would say it's quite a reasonable thing for her to draw his attention to the need, and very wonderful that she recognizes in the Lord Jesus the only one that can possibly have a solution to this lack. And so naturally speaking, when we read this incident, our hearts are working up towards being very sympathetic with Mary. And perhaps when we read the Lord's response, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" perhaps at first we think that sounds a little harsh. Well, of course, we couldn't ever say that of the Lord Jesus. But, you know, what wisdom in the Lord Jesus there was, in view of all that is made of Mary in the religious systems around us, where she is elevated above the person of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord here really shows us that when it comes to himself and his work and God's timing, the only right response is for him to say, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." But then when we look at the end of the gospel and we see the tender care with which the Lord Jesus deals with his mother, there he is in the most straitened circumstances of his own pathway here. The cross before him. He's already gone through the Garden of Gethsemane, and that great weight of what lay ahead he anticipates. And we see his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. And now, faced with all that the cross meant to him, he has in his thoughts this same one of whom he said, "Woman." And he speaks in the same way, but we see there in his words that tender care. And he says to her, "Woman, behold thy son." And to the one, that blessed one who was always so conscious of not his love for the Lord, but the Lord's love for him, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he says, "Behold your mother." And so we see now the perfect sympathy and tender heart of the Lord Jesus. There's no tension, there's no imbalance. It's the same one, his mother, the same one whom he could address as woman, and yet now the perfectly appropriate response in the circumstances. And again, we saw that household where Mary has brought the outpouring of her heart, the results of much preparation and meditation. And he appreciates that. He knew what it meant. He receives it in the way in which it was offered. And I think we might just be helped as to this. We know we're few in number. We know that we're weak and our response is often feeble. But what a wonderful thing to take account of the way in which the Lord receives what we bring. It may not be very eloquent. It may have the appearance to those outside of not being something which is worthy of being brought to God. This was Judas's thought. Didn't appreciate the value of the perfume that Mary brought. He had his own estimation of it. And maybe we're often caught up in that. Maybe we feel a little bit ashamed to be identified with the weakness. Well, I think if we had any idea of how the Lord views us and what we have to bring, even in our feeble appreciation of himself and his work, then we would realize it's of great value. And so in this incident, the Lord is able to speak very directly to Judas. Let her alone. And so again we see the perfect character of the Lord Jesus as manifested. Perfectly appropriate, perfectly right, having taken account of things which weren't evident to Judas or any of the others. But he knew what was in Mary's heart. He knew all that had led up to what she had saved up in order to put that perfume by. And he appreciated it. And dear brethren, if we have him before us, as Mary did, without being worried or concerned how it appears to those outside. I'm not saying it's not unimportant, the testimony that we render to others, but our focus shouldn't be on how we appear to others, but rather how we appear to the Lord Jesus himself. And if he is the sole object of our coming together, then we'll be in the good of it, because he will appreciate all that we have to bring. And we can leave it to him to say to others, well, this is how I view it. We leave the matter of public testimony in his hands. And then this lovely touch of dear Mary at the tomb weeping. And we're not told here in John much of what took place, but just one word in verse 16. That's all we read. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned. And we have here one whose heart was brought down so very low in all the circumstances. All her hopes seemingly dashed. And he knew all this. She was weeping. But with just a word, what wonderful recognition there must have been. She turned. How many times had she heard that the Lord's voice saying to her, Mary, I wonder. Well, the point is she knew at once who it was. She turned. And just this last feature of the Lord Jesus, how with just a word he can come into all our circumstances. And I would just bring this before us, dear brethren, the reality of each one of us knowing the shepherd's voice. All it takes is one word, but we recognize his voice. And what cheer, what comfort, what guidance, what help, what direction there is in the shepherd's voice. And he says, my sheep know my voice. They don't give heed to another. And I pray that might have been the case in our week together, that in being occupied with the things of the Lord Jesus, we've become accustomed to his voice and will be less inclined to give heed to another, because there are many other voices around us all the time. And to be reminded in our week together of the shepherd's voice, to hear our names calling us, leading us out, coming in times of when we need to be comforted. And we've been reminded he knows all our circumstances because he's known the same. And so it's very simply all I desire to bring before us, dear brethren, this simple thought, the perfect balance of the person of the Lord Jesus. Every circumstance, whether it needed to be a straight word or a tender word, whatever the situation, the Lord Jesus exhibited that which was perfectly right in every circumstance. And so we can be encouraged as we go to our various localities tomorrow and the days ahead, what variety of circumstances there will be when we take all of us. My circumstances aren't going to be like any of yours, and yours are not going to be like any of my circumstances, but the Lord can meet them all, and in every way he's able to come in. And I would encourage us to be those that love to hear the shepherd's voice and to be comforted and guided and encouraged, and above all to have something for him, so that when we come into his presence and we bring some appreciation of him, so have that consciousness that he knows all the circumstances that have been behind what we have, and he's able to appreciate it in a way which goes even beyond our own appreciation of it. So let us not be embarrassed or ashamed to be in such weak conditions and circumstances. Let's get our eyes off how things look outside, because we have before us one whose voice we're very soon going to hear, a summoning shout. And when that happens, all these other things will be, they won't be before us. And so may we be in the spirit of such things, even while we're down here, day by day, while we look and long for his soon coming return.